Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Scott Woodward is the analyst.
Thanks, matey.
Oh, yeah, he sure is. And not only is he the analyst, he's our analyst as well. He's on the line. Hello, Scotty.
Good afternoon, Jimmy. Good to talk to you. And with the good news that the Sky Blues have not lost a game this series.
The Navy Blues down 1-0 in the series. But the
yeah,
Sky
so that's
Blues
the motivation. That's the motivation for Freddie. So they'll put the very powerful Sky Blue jersey on, and they'll all be Supermen.
Okay. Well, I named my 17 yesterday. I had Cody Walker and Adam Reynolds in the halves. I presume that Latrell Mitchell would be back, and I also had Damien Cook at the hooker position. What changes are you anticipating for New South Wales for Game 2?
Okay, just before I get to that, Jimmy, just let me say that if you calculate the Game 1 winners who go on to win the series, plus the fact that Game 2 is at Suncorp, the probability of New South Wales winning the series now is 25%, and that's in line with the market, which just underlines what I just said. This is a wonderful opportunity for Freddie and the Blues, a really wonderful opportunity. Can you imagine if they go off and win at some court, and then they come to Sydney, and they'll be raging hot favourites to clinch the series. So it's a terrific opportunity. Now, Jimmy, look, in a major boost to the Blues, Latrell comes in, obviously. He's just a straight automatic. I can't emphasise what a massive in that is. I think New South Wales nearly win if he plays in Game 1. So to counter that, obviously, Nathan Cleary is out, but he'll be replaced by a half, in my judgment, equal standing to Daly Cherry Evans. I think what has been missed in the replacement conversations is, like Queensland, New South Wales have a succession plan. And if Nicho Hynes plays well on the weekend against Jerome Hughes, he will be an automatic, in my opinion. The whole point of him being in the succession plan and being trained as Nathan's replacement is so that he replaces Nathan if there's a problem. And there is a problem. All he has to do is play well against the Melbourne Storm, and I'm very comfortable that he will be straight in. And let me say, his half-partner, Jerome Luai, was my highest-rated New South Wales player in Game 1 with two very classy try assists. In fact, he was the only guy that really looked dangerous and like putting someone through a gap. I thought he had an outstanding game, Jerome Luai, and I can't see him being sacked. So, if Daly Cherry Evans was out, Tom Dearden would come in, because he's their succession plan. There's no point in having succession plans if you're not going to utilise them, and I'm confident that that's what New South Wales will do. So I don't think there'll be many changes. The change will be Latrell comes in, Nick Gow will go to seven, and I think all New South Wales have to do is find somebody on the bench. Now, is that going to be another hooker in Cookie, or are they going to come up with one of the forwards, Crichton or Kulamatangi, Daniel Safidi, Homali, somebody like that? So that's all they have to do.
Okay.
If it was me, I'd have the two hookers.
Okay, so you're talking about Nicho Hynes. You're talking about a succession plan around that with Nathan Cleary. Nicho's older than Nathan Cleary. So, and then the other thing about that is this, that there is no future and no point of a succession plan for Brad Fittler and Greg Alexander if they lose Game 2 or Game 3. So forget about what it means in the future. You need to win now.
Well, you're absolutely right. I couldn't agree more with that. Well, Nicho Hynes is in the succession plan because he's perceived as the next best. Whether that's right or wrong, that's irrelevant. They perceive him as the next best. So number one is out, so number two comes in. That's just how succession plans work. And Jerome Luai was outstanding in Game 1, and he deserves to stay there. I understand the conversations around Cody Walker, Mitchell Moses, Adam Reynolds. I totally get that. And let me point out the Indigenous team early this year contained Latrell Mitchell at fullback. Cody Walker was six and Nicholas Hines was seven. So Cody Walker and Hines have got a combination. So again, that's Hines at seven. So if Cody Walker comes in, you have him replacing Jerome Luai, which I think would be really unfair. I actually think Luai will handle the cauldron of Suncorp much better than Cody Walker. As experienced as what Cody Walker is, I think Jerome Luai will handle it really well. He's in great form, and he doesn't deserve to lose his spot. I don't think there'll be many changes, Jimmy, contrary to what everyone on radio and TV and in the media are saying. I don't think there'll be a lot of changes.
Okay. Michael Maguire yesterday favoured the two-hooker rotation. You were favouring that prior to Game 1, and I guess what we saw in Game 1 re-emphasise that for you. Do you start with Cook or Appy?
No, look, I would start with Appy. I thought Appy did a really good job early, but my point is he played 80 minutes and he only made two dummy half runs for 9 metres, which is just, that's just like terrible, you know. Harry Grant come on and he made 4 runs for 32 metres. Yeah, the other thing is Appy also missed 5 tackles. So and that's because of he was tired, he played big minutes, he was working really hard. So by all means, let him start, and then I would like to see what Matt said. Bring on the speedy Cookie, and who gives really good service, and he'll speed up the game. That was what was lacking for New South Wales. They needed to go to another level in those last 20 minutes, yes. And in fact, they went backwards in the last 20 minutes.
And that was the other really good point that I hadn't considered that Michael Maguire made mention of yesterday, is that Damien Cook, like, you don't want to play him there, but if you have to, if you lose a couple of wingers, he can play on the wing, he can play at fullback, he can play in the centres, because he's done that before. Obviously, it's not ideal, but it is possible. Now, here's the other thing, and I hope I don't cause any problems for you. On 100% footy last night, Phil Gould, the general manager of football at the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs and your boss, said Mitchell Moses should be the halfback. Is everything going to be okay today when you see Gus?
Yeah, right. Look, Gus woke me up at 3 o'clock this morning, so everything is fine. I respect Gus's opinion, and Mitchell Moses is an outstanding player, but it goes against the succession plan that Freddie has in place. You have to say, what's the point of having a succession plan if you're not going to implement it? So Mitchell Moses would be fantastic. He's a classy player. Reynolds would be fantastic. New South Wales have got some terrific options. So, you know, I don't see, and all those options are of equal standing to Daly Cherry Evans. So New South Wales won't be disadvantaged in the halfback area. They just need to get the 6 and 7 combination right. I like Jerome Luai and Nicholas Hines together. I think that will do the job. But the big in is Latrell. Latrell will be amazing.
Yeah.
So we're going to have Latrell and we're going to have Turbo on both sides. Turbo, there were some excuses why Turbo had an under-benchmark game last time, you know, which I won't go into, but I'm sure he'll be 100% for game two. And he's been cleared to play on the weekend, which is good. So we'll get a good look at his form on the weekend. And this time next week, there'll probably be a few changes that we aren't privy to at the moment. But Latrell and Tom Tavorevic, both automatic ins. It's an outstanding back line for New South Wales. Jimmy, I thought the forwards for New South Wales were terrific. They gave really good field position. Davida Pengai Jr. has copped a lot of criticism. I thought he was outstanding in the first half. His metres per minute at 3.67 were higher than any other forward. So he only played for 27 minutes, so he did a good job. If he can eliminate those silly offloads, they just concentrate on what he does with his running game, he'll be a big asset. He's been the best player for the Bulldogs in his last two games. He's been absolutely outstanding. Just on the forwards, something that is completely different at Origin level as opposed to club level is that passing and offloads has dropped right down at Origin level. Queensland only had 6 passes from their forwards and 2 offloads, where New South Wales had 18 passes. 13 of those were from Isaiah Yeo, and 0 offloads. So not one forward offloaded. Offloads are just aren't a part of Origin, I'm afraid, at the moment anyway.
Yeah, and well, that's interesting too, because that's been a feature of Payne Haas's game this year, the fact that he has been able to offload either in the line or through the line. So, I want to go to the prices that we have at Top Sport, matey. $1.57 Queensland for this game. New South Wales $2.40. But as you say, if you think New South Wales can go up there and win game two, which I agree with you, I think they can as well. You flip it around from a series score. Series winner now, New South Wales at $4, Queensland $1.25.
Yep. I thought New South Wales lost a lot of opportunities in game one. If they can ice those opportunities, they can absolutely win beyond any doubt. And so that was the difference. Queensland iced their opportunities, New South Wales didn't. I think they'll have a better strategy. I think they were taken a little bit by surprise the way that Queensland suffocated Isaiah Yeo, and he wasn't able to distribute the ball like he normally does. I think New South Wales will get that right. And they've got some very good options on what they can do. It's an outstanding back line. As I said, I was impressed by the forwards. I thought they went good. I don't see that they need to make any changes at all. Just bring Latrell in and get someone on the bench, whether it be another hooker or whether it be another forward. It's going to be a very good 17 against a very good 17. It'll be one hell of a game, no question.
Yeah, can't wait for that.
Jimmy, just before we go to what ifs, I might just quickly might point out something that's interesting. This series may very well be the last Origin appearances that we see for Ben Hunt, Daly Cherry-Evans, James Tedesco, and also Frizzell. They may very well retire after this series. I just think that's interesting. Ben Hunt, 34 next year. Cherry-Evans, 35. Teddy, 31. Frizzell, 32. So maybe not. Maybe they'll go around again, but this could be the last time.
DCE's a bit Benjamin Button, isn't he? He seems to be getting younger as he's advancing in years. All right, the segment within a segment. Let's go to it.
And now it's time for...
number one.
Let's go to the Raiders-West Tigers match on the weekend, Jimmy. Six again restarts. Mm. Canberra Raiders 0, West Tigers 8. What the? Number two.
Yeah, seems a little... Yes, okay, yes.
I know your daughter has had a crack at this. It's impossible to hum while holding your nose. What the?
And my two sons, and they're currently 0-3. So there you go.
While everyone's trying to do that, I'll move on to number three. Rumours that David Koch's Sunrise replacement, Matt Shervington, Australia's third fastest sprinter of all time, did his interview in Budgie Smugglers is incorrect. What's that?
There were no rumours about that. Anyway, number four.
The fastest time to reach 1 million followers on Twitter is 4 hours and 3 minutes and was achieved by the incredibly versatile Olympic champion, Caitlyn Jenner, exactly 8 years ago. What the?
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. I think Caitlyn was on the cover of Wheaties box. Yeah.
Back to the NRL, Jimmy. Number five, Nathan Cleary will take advantage of his time out to have his four wisdom teeth removed. This will mean that the champion halfback will not be as wise without all of his wisdom teeth. What the?
Yeah, not your strongest. Okay, let's finish strong number six.
I quite like that, to be honest. All right, Jimmy. Number six. According to mass mainstream media, Jason Rolls was a done deal to be the new Dragons coach. What the? Just to take a quote from Ricky Stewart, Jimmy, these are the Muppets who pretend they know. Okay. So with a couple of exceptions, the mainstream media were all in for Jason Rolls as being a done deal at the Dragons. Not a maybe or not a likely, but done. One reporter even named Shane Millard as his assistant coach. And by the way, Shane didn't know anything about it. These are the same guys who all had Kyle Flanagan signed with Manly. Question to you, Jimmy. Who are these journalists accountable to? How many incorrect and irresponsible headlines do their owners and editors allow them to make before they are held to account?
It's a very good question, and I'll tell you who else they're accountable to as well, is their readers. So they're, 'cause as soon as you get that wrong, you there's a little bit of trust eroded from your readership point of view as well. If you want to take it to a further step, if you said, right, you got that headline wrong, and remember the sub-editors write the headline, but you got the crux of the story wrong, first offence, $1,800 fine with an early guilty plea. Second offence, sorry, $3,000 fine with an early guilty plea. Third offence means you're going to get incorrect reporting, a grade 2 incorrect reporting, and sorry, you won't be able to write for 3 weeks.
Jimmy, I'll give credit to you. You held strong for the period, as did both Anasta, let me say. I said to you some 6 weeks ago that I didn't think that there's no way Jason Rolls would go to St George. And I was in your studio last Tuesday, and I doubled down on that last Tuesday and have done almost every day for 6 weeks. And you haven't changed. So you were one of the few that didn't follow everybody and get suckered in. So it's just, if I know that, how come they don't know that? Like, did anybody bother to ask him? You know, I was just blown away with all the headlines that we're getting week after week. It was just crazy. Anyway, let's go to amazing. Sports quote of the week.
Oh, yes. Here we go.
Okay, Jimmy, sports quote of the week this week goes to Australia's greatest golfer, in my opinion anyway, Greg Norman, who spent 331 weeks as world number one, who said, I owe a lot to my parents, especially my mother and father.
Thank you, analyst.
That's all I've got, Jimmy. Out. Beep, 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 beep.